Welcome to Aim for Truth. We have been giving out the truth for some time now, and there's so much chaos out there that the truth has fallen like apples in an orchard that aren't picked up. So we're going to go over that. Today, we're going to celebrate the crossing of the Delaware, George Washington, because our current George Washington, Donald Trump, is crossing the Delaware to go after those mercenaries, those German mercenaries that were in Trenton, New Jersey, who were all drunk on the night of Christmas, and he crossed a very difficult crossing and surprised them and took them hardly without a shot. Well, this is the victory that's going to happen soon, but we don't know. Just like George Washington didn't tell anybody his plan, Trump is not telling anybody his plan, and all we see is chaos all around us. It is so disgusting and so disconcerting to all of us who have been imprisoned in our homes and been controlled by fascist governors extending their reach of their power in an emergency situation, all because of five bad pandemic laws which need to be addressed and ended. Instead of adding to the omnibus budget the injunction that Trump cannot use the Insurrection Act, which is illegal. They can't do that. That's just like when they told him that he can't continue to wage war somewhere or take action in a country or remove troops from Afghanistan. All of those things are complete nonsense. Even if both the Senate and the House tell him to do this, he doesn't have to. Now, we are in the most precarious time in American history. And folks, I'm sorry to have to say, because of the pandemic laws, in other words, because of the World Health Organization / United Nations control of the world, and particularly through China and Britain, because they seem to have more voice at the United Nations than America does, though we pay for everything, what we're seeing is an extinction event. If you're going to wear that mask, you need to look at the science behind it. You're harming yourself. You are entering into hypoxia. Hypoxia is another description they're using for what happens when people come into the hospital with supposed coronavirus 19. Hypoxia, the inability to uptake oxygen. Same thing happens when 5G is put in an area pervasively. Same thing happens when you are given any of the fake flu shots. Same thing happens when you are given now a vaccine, which I'd like to explain, but it's extremely complicated and most people aren't going to understand this. But recently, I did a survey of health workers in a hospital, and the only people getting the shot are the doctors. And I'm told the reason is because they have liability. If they were to suppose someone could sue them for giving them coronavirus 19, and so therefore they get the shot to say, well, I've done everything, you know, that it was possible, and I wear a mask and so on and so forth. They know that those masks harm them. There have been untold studies in medical facilities showing that masks harm the people who wear them. And even doctors are very cognizant of that when they're in the operating room. And in fact, it is complete nonsense. And so remember, there is no state in the union where you have to wear a mask. Every single state goes by the pandemic laws. It doesn't matter what the governor says. It doesn't matter what the sheriff says. The pandemic laws are determined by the federal government, and only when the National Institute of Health and the Center for Disease Control follow the pandemic laws, which are basically they must follow what the World Health Organization tells us to. But now we know that they were liars, cheaters, and they every speck of advice that they've given on this harms people, not helps people. Therefore, they have to be completely abnegated as a source of help in a pandemic, but they are the ones who call the pandemic. And once the pandemic has been called in America, because our idiot legislators have created these pandemic laws, which we have pointed out in our articles, which basically say they can do anything they want. They abnegate the Constitution. All of the pandemic laws in America abnegate the U.S. Constitution. There is no situation where the government can control for you something that you have to do that will medically harm you, or that you receive something intravenously into your body as an injection or a vaccine. There's no such thing. Plus, there's no such thing, hardly, except for tetanus and a few other things that vaccines have ever worked on. There's always contraindications. So with the new vaccine, the contraindications are so profound. Thousands and thousands of people have gone to the hospital or not been able to work. So if you can't do your normal duties, your normal job, after you receive a vaccine, it's called a contraindication, which shows the lack of efficacy of that vaccine. So we are in a stage where this is an extinction event, folks. And well, the extinction event will also be for the Republic of America if, in fact, Trump does not turn this election around.
Douglas, then why does Trump keep promoting the vaccine? That's what people want to know. We know that it is no good. It could kill you. It can maim you, harm you. Why is the president saying, go get your vaccine? Yay, yay.
Essentially, you should follow what he is doing. He told he's not getting it. He told his White House staff not to get it. And only idiot Pence went out and after meeting with a secret meeting with the people who are making money off of this, he then gets his shot. I doubt it was a real shot. It's just like Pelosi's shot still had the orange plastic cap over the needle and they pushed that against her skin and said she got a shot. They didn't even depress the plunger. Okay, so what we're looking at here is, as Mike always calls it, kabuki theater. It's just a big fat friggin' lie and I'm disgusted by it. I'm also very disturbed that we don't know Trump's plan, but just like I said in the opening, this is the crossing of the Delaware. This is the winning of the battle, but it's only because of secrecy and only because of Trump's leadership, just like George Washington, that we can basically overwhelm the other side because they're basically a bunch of drunks. I love the guy who calls it our drunk, insolvent Uncle Sam. Because with this omnibus bill, they rolled it all together so that they could get it by Trump. But what did they stop? They tried to stop him using the Insurrection Act. They tried to not allow him to enforce Section 230 of Decency and Broadcasting Act. They have given money through OPEC. Now, when they say they give money to foreign countries, that is a big freaking lie. None of that money ever goes directly to the countries mentioned. It goes through OPEC, and OPEC is nothing more than Pelosi and Schumer and all their friends. They simply start a company in Delaware that is never audited, and then they slush the money through that company, supposedly to go to, you know, Jordan or go to Pakistan or wherever. Those are all lies. We've already proven that that money seldom ever gets to where it's going, and no one ever checks up on OPEC money. So USAID and OPEC is nothing more than a scam. And we get to see this because they care more for other countries. No, they don't. They don't care more for other countries in America. They are paying this to their own personal interests and they get a kickback, period, period, period. And if you don't know that, you haven't done your homework. So I'm sick to death of people touting chaotic nonsense. In this particular case, one of the only voices that you could listen to right now is Rand Paul. He stood up and said the $600, you know, he said what I'm saying, the $600 incentive to help through this to Americans is complete nonsense, that we give it to illegal aliens and they will even get more this time because they're going to make sure that last time when we discounted them and didn't give them any money, they get that money and the current money. No, no, no. Why is Trump doing this? He's doing it because, unfortunately, it seems as if, but we don't know, when he vetoes it, that there is a rule that if they've already received the number of votes to override the veto, they simply go ahead with the bill. Well, he may not veto it. He has another option, and that's not to sign it so that it simply dies. And an omnibus budget is when you combine a bunch of stuff. And what happens? What we always tell you. At Christmas, the National Defense Authorization Act, they cry. And they rolled it now into an omnibus budget to say, you know, if you don't give us what we want, the soldiers in foreign countries will have no money, no food, no bullets, no nothing. We are deserting them. Complete and absolute lies. That is not the way that it works. But what this does is instead of having a normal appropriations bill through the 12 different committees, that each one comes forward, when you roll them all together like this, which they're rolling almost all of them together, then it will give Biden the ability to do whatever he wants with that money when the time comes, if he is actually put in place. But he's not going to be put in place if Mike Pence stays true to what Trump and he probably agreed, which is on January the 6th, he needs to reject the electoral votes coming from the contested states. Right now, we have multiple contested states, and it doesn't really matter how many are contested. As long as they are validly contested, then those electoral votes cannot be counted. And then the entire election is contested, and then it goes to the Senate to elect the vice president, who can elect Kamala Harris. They could elect Mike Pence, either one. And it goes to the House to elect the president. Well, there's already the votes there. If the Republicans vote for Trump, he will win. So that is probably his plan, but that would mean that he must contest the National Archivist's delivery of the electoral votes to Mike Pence. If they're contested for fraud, then it means that they should have gone to the Supreme Court. So right now we see that there is a case coming before the Supreme Court before January the 6th, which Trump is bringing, which is going to use the fact that Georgia is decertifying. If they can get any state to decertify, those electoral votes will not count. All you have to have is one of those. You don't have to have the numbers that you would need for Trump to win. You don't have to have five of the swing states all contested. No, incorrect. So we already see that it's been contested, but we see that the corrupt courts, both the Supreme Courts, the circuit court of the states and the circuit courts and the federal courts in those areas, have rejected most of these things, right? Well, that's okay. It isn't up to the court. It's up to the legislature. So as long as the legislature at some point, and they already have chosen separate Republican electors who they are putting up for nomination to be the ones who give the votes, then in fact, it is contested. But what will happen from this? Well, Mike Pence went out and got his little shot. He's a globalist. He's getting paid under the table. No doubt about it. That's what happens. You reach the White House and you reach the pocketbook of the globalists, and then you get your offshore account, and then you are rich like so many of the people in our federal legislature. They are filthy rich. Where did they get the money? Where did Biden get all that money? Well, we know where he got it. Plus, he's under investigation, he and his son and others that they were associated with. Plus, he's under investigation in Ukraine, two separate investigations for the fraud, which we all know about. And then we have the fact that China, as an outside source through Seidel Elections, intervened. We have Dominion vote machine rigging. We have Optech rigging in the other machines. And so what we have here is not only this is one of the biggest events in our lives. This is a critical event that could literally, if the coronavirus goes forward, folks, it's not one shot. It's four shots. Listen to the FDA approval. I listen to every word. It's four shots, and then there'll be a booster shot every year thereafter. Right now, those shots are creating a separate type, a more virulent type of COVID-19 in England. Watch what's going on in England. This is worse than what the Nazis did, because now they're doing it against their own people and not just to one race. This is an extinction event, both politically and medically. Hi, Mike.
Douglas, good to talk to you.
Sorry, I went down in the conclave without you and I got all worked up. So maybe you can bring some sense to this.
Well, I just want to know what you think about those subjects.
You mean what I really feel about them?
Yes.
Well, I want to point out that anyone who doesn't want to wear a mask doesn't have to. Take the little card that Betsy provided for you that you can print, wear it around your neck. You don't have to say a word to anyone. No policeman can do a thing to you. No one can. It doesn't matter what state you're in. If you have a medical exemption for these pandemic laws, then you are exempt. And how would you get a medical exemption? Well, first off, HIPAA doesn't allow anyone to ask you that question. You don't have to be like me who says, I have CPAP, I use a CPAP, and I have asthma. So therefore, I don't have to wear a mask, and I'm not going to get the lack of oxygen happening, as well as carbon monoxide poisoning, carbon dioxide poisoning, excuse me. And so I just want to say, if you believe this, this is a march straight towards totalitarian fascism, which is nothing more than American version of Chinese communism.
Now, I would like Michael to chime in, because lately he has been, he and the miners have been pulling up some amazing intel from China, showing how the British Imperial Empire, the British American pilgrims are behind this whole thing we're seeing in China. But before I do, I have to tell you, Mike, that the image that I had last night when I was thinking about all this amazing work you guys are doing is that you seem to be replicating what Saint Michael did, putting that spear that was handed to you from the Gabriels into the dragon, which is China. Good job.
Well, there's a lot of people involved in this, and it's really amazing what happened last week. Somebody sent us a Twitter tweet, and in that tweet was a photo of a number of people standing in front of a very large picture in a typical Chinese setup for a photo. And in the middle of this photo was Xi Jinping. And to his immediate right was somebody we know well, James W. Breyer, who was the chairman of Facebook when Facebook stole our technology. And to his left was Hank Paulson, the former Treasury Secretary and the former CEO of Goldman Sachs. And I have, in my days in gospel music, we traveled in Asia, and I know something about the Asian culture. And one of the things is when you pose for official pictures like that in China or pretty much anywhere else in Asia, the setup of the picture, where people are standing or sitting, communicates messages of authority to those who are looking at the picture. And to see James W. Breyer to Xi Jinping's right spoke volumes, and it really confirmed what many of us have believed for years about him, because we discovered that he and his father had really gone to China over a decade ago to help build the venture capital business in China. And one of the things that was a telling sign that they were up to something is you could not find anything about his father. Now, this is going back about 10 years ago when our researchers were looking this up. And we did discover his name, John P. Breyer. And then we discovered that he was a fellow Hungarian refugee with George Soros and with Andy Grove from Intel back in the mid-40s. And they all changed, well, in the case of Breyer, his father changed to his name to a Christian name and gave his son a Christian name, which wasn't uncommon. But then we noticed that his father started Computer World. So for any of us that go back to the 70s and 80s, Computer World was one of the key tech magazines in the world. And then his father proceeded to drop off the radar screen. You couldn't find anything about him, no bios. The only information that was discovered was in an old archived copy of Computer World where they actually discussed him. So we did confirm he does exist. And then we didn't know anything about him. He was purported to have moved to China and was advising the Chinese government on how to set up a venture capital business in China. And then this photo shows up, and this photo was taken in 2017. And it was a lineup of American tech and banking leaders in front of the Great Hall in Beijing, China, at Tsinghua University. And these people were supposedly there to give lectures to students at their business and tech college. But let me just read you a few of the names of the people that were shown there. Tim Cook from Apple, Jack Ma from Alibaba, Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, Henry Paulson, Bush Treasury Secretary Goldman Sachs, Stephen A. Schwarzman. That is a name that I think everybody needs to learn. Stephen A. Schwarzman. He is the CEO of Blackstone Group, which when you hear the word Blackstone, you hear the word BlackRock. What you've got to realize is these two companies are essentially associated with each other. And it's well known, infamously known, that they're directly associated with the CIA. And the other thing about Schwarzman, which is really telling, is he set up something called the Schwarzman Scholarships. And he specifically says in his website that that is a Rhodes Scholarship for Chinese people studying in America. And that's the intent. So the CIA is funding essentially Rhodes Scholarships in America. James W. Breyer, Xi Jinping, John L. Thornton from Barrick Gold Corporation, Hank Greenberg from AIG, Satay Nadella from Microsoft, and there are others. But now I ask you, have you ever seen a college university lecture series attended by such a stellar group of individuals?
And every one of them ended up making untold amounts of money by that little association.
Absolutely. And the other thing we started looking for the originals of this tweet's photos, and sure enough, we found them. And where did we find them? We found them in China Daily, which is a main organ of the Communist Party. And they were very high quality photos. There were even photos of every one of these participants, and there were 17 pictured, and then there were another probably 15 that were guests also. And we see them actually giving lectures. They go into great detail of their background, and it shows them giving lectures to these Chinese students. And it's just amazing that we saw and read such detail, because up till now, these people have done a yeoman's job of keeping their resumes confusing and keeping their pictures out of the paper when it comes to their interlocking associations with each other. And yet here we have this picture that was taken in the Great Hall with Xi Jinping right in the middle with all these people lined up in two rows. And what we now think after studying this for about a week is we think Xi Jinping was hedging his bets. We think that, and this was in what was the date on this? October 31st of 2017. So we now know that that's when the Trump-Russia hoax was being cranked up at the FBI and the Department of Justice. And therefore, what we see here is all the companies. Now, the other thing that we did is we correlated this list of people with whether or not they had made major donations in the Clinton Foundation. And wouldn't you know it, every one of the people pictured here were great Clinton Foundation donors. And secondly, we looked at whether they were members of the IBM Eclipse Foundation, which took our social networking technology and distributed it to the whole world. And sure enough, they were all members of the IBM Eclipse Foundation. So what we think was handed us by Xi Jinping himself was a photo of all of the American Pilgrims Society players that are leading the charge against the Republic and against President Trump. I'm going to stop and let you comment on that.
Correct. And this has been going on since 1902. You might as well say the spirit of Cecil Rhodes and British imperialism has now been completely absorbed into China. And to underscore what you're saying, I want to make it perfectly clear to people. Social media was known the second they stole it from you and your group. IBM Eclipse Foundation stole it. They knew that it was a psyops. They knew that it wasn't social media at all. You call it a social credit system. It was created as a way to control people for totalitarian governments. Mm-hmm. It's been used in every single revolution that I know as the tool of the CIA and as the tool of George Soros and the color revolutionists. And so when you say social media,
Can I interrupt you there? You said it was created for totalitarian purposes. That's not wasn't our intent.
That's
our
right.
Intent was exactly the opposite. So they basically transformed it into 180 degrees from our original intent. I just want to make that clear.
Precisely. You and your group from Leader Technologies basically created it for freedom on the internet, not for bondage. Now it is used for bondage. And anyone who studies this, and we've given you so much information and proof, these devices create illness. Vaccines create illness. And what do they intend to do? Sterilize. 5G, we know, causes a lack of oxygen uptake and sterilizes women. It kills their ovaries and the eggs in their ovaries. And so the sterilization that comes with vaccines also comes with 5G. It comes with using these devices, as well as many other illnesses. So when we say social media, let's remember that the media is the message. And what is the message? The message is a psyops. It is to surveil, target, and attack those who do not comply with the people who put this psyops into place. Now, who put it into place? James Breyer and his group. Nobody is more guilty of this than James Breyer.
Correct.
And his buddies there are the ones who jumped on board and said, as capital ventures, that this is where the money's going. We don't care that China wants to kill people. What is China using social media for? They have Dragonfly, which was created by Eric Schmidt for them. It turned into their social credit system. So their social credit system is what? It's exactly what the British imperialists were doing. It's called genocide. It's called depopulation. It's called pogroms. It's called the Holocaust. The Uyghur people in China right now are undergoing a Holocaust, and no one seems to want to do anything about it, though we have, through social media, an infinite amount of information demonstrating that this is going on. And then it goes to the United Nations, and the United Nations says, you know, China, you really ought to stop the genocide of the Uyghur people. And what do they say? We veto whatever you say. Why are they on the Security Council? Why is a communist country on the United Nations Security Council when we can see that they tried to annihilate, well, they annihilated the majority of the Tibetans. They're annihilating the Uyghurs and anybody who doesn't comply with their system. Right now, we have been told that since Dragonfly went into place and since the vaccines are now the cover for doing whatever you want in any government, going into people's homes, taking their children away, taking them away, taking them to vaccine camps like they do in New Zealand, and they certainly do in China. What is that? That is communist totalitarianism trying to stop anyone who doesn't agree with them. So they are surveilled, they're targeted, and they're attacked. And it immediately adds to President Xi's Central Committee's totalitarian power. Now, remember, President Xi is going to be considered in history the worst dictator there ever was because he's only getting started. And he's the only dictator I know who has ever come out that said, we're taking over the whole world, whether you like it or not. And if you say one word about us, we then go and behind the scenes after we've leveraged you with amazing deals where they buy all the resources in the whole world from every single country they can. And then if you do not comply with them, if you mention that Taiwan exists, because remember, 51% of our goods, our household goods, came from Taiwan just a few years ago. Now they try to say that's China doing that. No, incorrect. China needs Taiwan, and China will take over Taiwan, and that's the reason that every day they use their military muscle to try to intimidate Taiwan. And so politically, they have taken over Taiwan, but they're going to militaristically do it soon so that they can control the manufacturing that feeds America through Walmart and Sam's Club so that Hillary and Bill Clinton, who set that up, and allowed them to have most favored nation trading status all the way back to Nixon's attempt to build a bridge between China and America. There should be no bridge to a totalitarian communist country, period. There should be no association with them, just like there should be no association with radical Islamic terrorism.
Okay, can I stop you there? Mm-hmm. Because one of the things I think people have had the most difficulty understanding is what's the connection between the British and the Chinese? Because on the surface, Britain's a democracy and China's a communist country. But what we need to understand here is that China was a creation of the Marshall Plan. In 1948, the CIA funded Mao Zedong into power, and the Cultural Revolution began. Well, one of the things we need to, we've always blamed him for the death and destruction of the Cultural Revolution. But what we have to remember is the philosophical underpinning that created the Marshall Plan was a satanic cult that really rose out of the Pilgrim Society and wanted to do the things you're talking about from the beginning. Now, this goes way back before World War II. We go back, as you said, to 1902 when the Pilgrims were formed. They've had a certain philosophy of how they wanted to control the world. So if we look at China, we've already talked about the Marshall Plan and the way that certain companies were going to be rewarded out of the gold from Japan and from Germany that the CIA took to the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. We've talked about how they put that money back into play with certain companies. In other words, we killed fascism in Germany, and then we started fascism with the Bank of International Settlements. We didn't even miss a beat. And in fact, it's interesting that all those German companies that we supposedly fought are all quite lucrative companies now and all part of the game. So what we've got to realize is that China has never been anything but a creation of the Pilgrim Society, the British. And what we also discovered, as we've talked about many times, is that if we go back to 1902, we already see at the formation of the Pilgrim Society that they were funding Vladimir Lenin in London multiple times, essentially to teach him how to do communism. And so the dichotomy there is, how can a democracy want to create communism? And I'm going to let you answer that. I have an answer, but how does a democracy like Britain, monarchy, okay, a democratic monarchy on paper, create communism and want the two to coexist side by side? How does that work, Douglas?
I am so glad you ask, because, you know, I love to rant and rave about this stuff. When you say monarch, you say dictator, period. And if you think anything else, you're simply ignorant. You willingly give over the power, even over your life, to a monarch. And to think that Britain is no longer a monarchy is complete and absolute insanity. Remember that the monarchy in Britain took up the worst habits of the Vatican and of the Italian bankers, who then became the bankers of Europe and the bankers of Britain. And what do they have? They have the same exact thing as the Doge had. The Doge had life and death control over everyone in their realm. Okay?
So Doge is from where?
Italy.
Italy, okay, right.
And so the Italian banking system comes from what happened first off in Venice with the Doge. And they simply have a committee of 10, and they are in power. That's the British Privy Council, or it's even, the Privy Council has hundreds of members, but there's a Privy Cabinet Committee, which has a very few people in it. And they are not the people who are part of the supposed democratic parliamentary cabinet that works with the Queen. The Queen and the monarchy and the aristocracy that surround her is exactly the same thing that's been going on since banks were created to fund the Crusades. Now, when you look at China, they have the same exact thing. President Xi has life and death control over everyone in his country. Now, they say that he takes his orders from the committee, the Chinese Central Party Committee. To a degree, that's true, but let's remember what's happened in the recent past. Because of the deals he did with Breyer and Eric Schmidt and Zuckerberg and all the other fake cardboard cutout Silicon Valley cyber lords, what really happened was they got pieces of the companies that went to China. We gave them everything that we have in terms of our IP, our trade secrets and everything else. The Chinese then made their own companies, which the Central Committee has control over. Every single contract with China has, at the bottom line, which you and your miners pointed out, an agreement that the Central Committee has veto power. Same exact thing that the Queen of England has.
Correct.
They'll say she has no power. Incorrect. She has ultimate veto power. Nothing can happen in England without the Queen's permission.
Let me point out that, and technically, when you look for that, sometimes they call that the golden chair, and people think, oh, isn't it nice? It's gold. No, what you have to look for in the company's house when you look at records is you have to look for something defined as the special share. And that special share is this one share that's given to the Queen to be managed by usually the Ministry of Trade and Technology. Sir Geoffrey Paddy, Lord Mark Malik Brown, there's a bunch of them that have had that. In fact, in recent years, the Lord President of the Privy Council was Sir Nick Clegg, who is now the Vice President of Communications for Facebook worldwide.
Absolutely, which let's remember that he's George Soros's friend. George Soros created the Open Society Foundation. What is that? That's global terrorism, global economic fascism, global economic predatorism. And that is exactly what we see with everything the Brits do. So our election was just now controlled by Lord Mark Malik Brown, but he comes on mainstream media, which is the propaganda machine for totalitarianists. And that's why in America, we are falling into complete totalitarian fascist communism. And who is behind it? The people who own the big social media companies, because without them, the propaganda wouldn't be there to carry forth what it is that the Central Committee is saying. So in Britain, the Central Committee is the Queen and her Privy Council. In the banks, you still see this all over. And you mentioned the International Monetary Fund and the Bank for International Settlement, the World Bank. Those are all fascist economic organizations trying to create one currency. Okay. That currency is going to be based upon carbon credits, which is based upon the lie, the propaganda of climate change.
Can we define fascism? Because it's been thrown around as one of those epithets. You're a fascist, but people don't even know what they're saying. But we mean it technically in that fascism is where a totalitarian government gives preference to certain companies and allows those companies to profit and lead and have the monopolies while everybody else is iced out. That's fascism. That's what Hitler had. The communists in Soviet Union didn't have that. They had state-owned everything. And that's just the way it ran until it ran out of gas. But in Hitler, they did it a little better because those companies were actually pretty efficient. But that is fascism when you don't have a free market.
Every time you see a picture coming out of our legislature and the federal government or the state, you're going to see a fascist up on the wall. Ask anybody what that is. 9 out of 10 won't be able to tell you what it is. It is a bundle of staffs that are bound together and a hatchet or a spear is inserted. The bundle of staffs goes back to the 12 tribes of Israel. When they got together and they decided someone had done something bad, if they took all the 12 staffs of the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes, put them together, bound them together, added an axe, they then had the capacity and the authorization to kill anyone they want. Exactly as I just said, the Doge had life and death power over all of the 10 members of the committee, and then all of the committee that's around them called the elitists, or the basically the merchants and the other bankers. So in other words, you give your power over to President Xi, and he gets to kill anyone he wants because the Central Committee allows the staffs of the Central Committee, Communist Chinese Central Committee, to be bound together. Now, we have that in America as the Sergeant of Arms staff in the House of Representatives. We have it all over the walls in every department of our legislature. Why? Because it's saying that we believe in fascism. We believe that if 12 people, just like the Muslims, they believe that if 5 Muslims in good faith say that someone did something wrong, then an imam, with having no other evidence than their word, has the right to kill them and kill them in merciless ways, throw bricks at them until they die, rocks at them, kill them, chop off parts of their body, whatever. That's fascism. Fascism is when group rule, it's mob rule. And when that mob makes a decision to kill someone, it still does not make it immoral. But so fascism is basically moralizing and making moral the will of the mob. And who is that mob? Oh, well, they're the special elected ones who are on the inside, Jeffrey Paddy, Lord Malik Brown, the people who are untouchable. So when you say monarchy, you say dictator. When you say British monarchy, you say British imperialistic fascism. When you say Democrats in America, unfortunately, they have become anarchists ruled by mob rule. And there is no underestimating the ignorance of people in a mob. There's no such thing. Infinite ignorance arises out of the mob who thinks that because they have power and control, even if they have a unified voice, that they can abnegate any law. They can kill anyone they want. They can take away your life, liberty, and freedom. Yes, they can, and they have. And right now, the fascists, that is the World Health Organization and the United Nations. United Nations and everything they do is opposite of what they say. World Health Organization is trying to kill people through genocide, through sterilization, through Bill Gates's polio, his hepatitis B in Africa had sterilization capacities in it. Now we find that whether we like it or not, we do not have a virus, a vaccine for the virus of coronavirus. That is a lie. The Moderna and the BioNTech vaccine is called a viral vector vaccine. It is not a vaccine that is live. It is not a vaccine that can attack COVID-19. Absolutely not. All it does is enter into your system through messenger RNA replication so that they replicate what your autoimmune system is weak to. So they took a dead fragment of coronavirus, one of the spikes, you know, those little spikes on top that they are all the time showing the picture of. They took a spike, they killed it. They did. They say they made it dormant. No, they killed it. They put it in this along with 1,000 other things. And then they give it to you so that your immune system will respond. Well, you'll get a response. But the problem is it is not going to be focused on coronavirus because there is no live virus for it to replicate in your immune system. So what does it attack? It attacks your entire immune system. Your entire autoimmune system is attacked by the current vaccine that they're claiming is a vaccine, which it is not, and that it's tested, which it was not, and which has efficacy to stop the virus, which it does not. But what does happen is, in the first 112,000 shots that went out in America, 3,000 people had contraindications. In other words, they got so sick they couldn't go to work, or they had to go to the hospital, or they had Bell's palsy, or they had a variety of different things, which are not being reported. Right now, you're not going to see any more reports. Why? Because we saw what happened in Britain. Now they have, in the very places that they had the most pervasive vaccine dissemination in Britain, they now have a super virus on their hands. Why? Because the viral vector vaccine being touted by Moderna and BioNTech doesn't work except to attack your immune system. So, of course, even if someone had the standard man-made coronavirus 19, which actually has a patent on it and was created in biological weapon labs, P4 labs across the world, paid for by Fauci. And by the way, Fauci said that he personally, I love this, to show how truthful he is. He literally made a statement to the world recently. Mr. Little Fauci said he checked and double checked to make sure that Santa Claus had a mask on. This is the insanity we're dealing with, that a man like that is even allowed to speak instead of being put in jail for his crimes against humanity, for what we already know with HIV and with all the virions that are created that aren't allowed to be used in this country, and that the National Institute of Health has done nothing for our health, and the CDC, they weren't prepared. They had meeting after meeting saying this was going to happen. Fauci said it was going to happen. They weren't prepared. They didn't have anything. They didn't have the masks. They didn't have the gowns. They had nothing. In other words, they were completely, completely a failure at their job. But their job, according to pandemic laws created by our horrifying legislatures, and a federal legislature particularly, the pandemic laws say that we have to follow whatever the World Health Organization says. Well, let's remember, World Health Organization said the second you come in with coronavirus, you're supposed to be put on a ventilator. We now know that kills 85% of the people that they do that to. So their advice is the advice of people who wish to commit genocide. This is a pogrom, people. This is for the ignorant people. Ignorant people, you're going to die if you follow what mainstream media tells you. You're going to die if you follow what the propaganda of social media, which I call social credit system, is telling you. Remember, George Soros's Open Society Foundation says there should be no borders. Where does the greatest amount of viral illness come from? Illegal immigrants crossing the border. Just look at the numbers of how many people are sick. They come to America to get medical care, because when you're an illegal alien in America, you get better care. It's 100% care. Whereas if you're a citizen of America, it's never 100% care with your medical insurance that you're paying out the nose for. So what we're seeing here is the supposed monarchy of Britain is not a monarchy at all. It is a dictatorship, and it hides so well because it uses social media and these the James Briars of the world to do their nasty jobs. But trust me, Pelosi didn't get a shot. She had an orange cap over that needle. The shot that went into Schumer, they didn't push the plunger. So when you look at this, you're looking at fake kabuki theater trying to convince people who are ignorant to believe the propaganda. And look, if you do, your life is in danger.
And lately, we've seen this explosive meeting that took place in the White House with the characters that everybody should know by now. And one of them is this Patrick Byrne that I don't trust at all because of his background. I don't believe anything he said in his interview with Ann VanderSteel. I'm very surprised that Ann didn't ask better questions, especially since she's interviewed you extensively, Mike. Well, who is this guy, and why is he there? Is he there to stir up trouble? I mean, to say that Mark Meadows and all these attorneys were yelling at Trump and everyone, it sounds to me like it was Trump theater.
Well, we were in the mines on this other subject of China and Britain, but kept hearing that noise as we were moving along. And it did seem odd because it was describing conduct in the Oval Office that, I don't think I've ever heard described like that before. And B, why were we getting such exquisite detail? What we've learned about the propaganda machine is that whenever you get a story that has exquisite little human details in it, it's fake. And so who knows what actually happened, but we know what they wanted us to think happened.
Brian, or Burns, whatever you want to call him, he was involved with Bettina and the NRH scandal. She ended up going to jail as a Russian spy. That was his girlfriend. He now has a new video out where he is claiming that he's an FBI asset, and that back years ago, he was used to do a sting operation on Hillary Clinton, where she gained $18 million from Syria for a deal she did with them, and then $20 million from another country. And he supposedly was the man who set it up, was there. Everything was all ready to go, and Hillary would go to jail if people would believe him. Same thing he said with the NRH.
That's too much detail. That's not real. You can't be real. By the way, what's NRH mean?
Excuse me, the National Rifle Association, NRA.
NRA.
NRH. NRA. Mm-hmm. And that scandal was international because they found that she had infiltrated everyone under the auspices of going into the Republicans and saying that, you know, she was a promoter of the National Rifle Association and the Second Amendment. No, she wasn't. She was just a pathetic spy doing what all pathetic spies do, which is using their sex, using their influence to try to get information and influence others and make them look like idiots. Well, Bettina made him look like an idiot because everything he said was opposite that came out in the trial. They didn't even call him to that trial. Okay. So everything he says is a lie. We know that what he said happened in the Oval Office. They had to get the words martial law out there and say that Trump was going to instill martial law and therefore we need to depose him. It's nothing more than another coup attempt. We know that two people in that meeting said martial law was never brought up. And by the way, martial law was already set up by Obama. He created 13 executive orders. The 13th order was that he can call martial law for anything from a coronal mass ejection to a banking crisis, including pandemics, so on and so forth. So Trump already called a national emergency. So whether people like it or not, we are under martial law. We are under 13 separate emergency orders from executive orders from the president's office that were started by Barack Obama. And all he has to do.
Well, I don't get what the fear is with martial law. I've actually seen martial law in operation several times. When we came to the rescue of the state of Louisiana after Katrina with our conferencing service, they were under martial law, and they suspend the normal government. In fact, the organizing group actually used our conference calling system for all of their organization. And so what you see is a very, very methodological approach to what the government has to do when their normal systems have broken down, in which case we were facilitating the communication among her agencies while they were doing life-saving. In fact, we were even hearing calls from the boats that they were using to get people off of roofs. That's how down in the nitty-gritty of this that we observed it. And there's nothing to fear here. This is whatever they're doing to make it a bogeyman is off the mark, because that we need martial law when a normal system of government has ceased operating for some reason, which we can clearly see now with this election fraud. And so therefore you have your elected president or your elected leader step in and do what needs to get it back in shape. That's what we elected him to do. We want him to follow the Constitution and protect the Constitution. So I don't see that there's anything to fear here. So the fear mongering that's going on around martial law is just that, fear mongering. But I go back to, let me go back to the exquisite detail, because I think this is a really key way of evaluating anything you hear as to whether it's true or whether it's propaganda. Because think about it. If you weren't in that meeting and there were only a few people in that meeting, and all those people were subject to some form of confidentiality with the President of the United States, our elected leader, and they walk out of there and they start giving you exquisite detail about the meeting, that's pure kabuki theater. It has to be.
Yes, and your point is well taken. We are already under martial law. Gavin Newsom in California, Governor Whitless in Michigan, Governor Whitmore, and Whitmer and others, Democratic governors. Remember, Trump did not call the pandemic. It is called by Health and Human Services, by an assistant to the Director of Health and Human Services, calls the pandemic based upon what the United Nations World Health Organization says. Trump has yet to call a national emergency over this. He's using medical national emergencies to speed up the assistance to the states. But certain Democratic governors suspended the Constitution and declared emergency conditions in their state. And this has been contested in all of these states, and it's been proven. And what do? They just go back to laws from 1847, where they say that, you know, they have the right because of this illness is an attack of one American on another American. In other words, civil war. That's what they're literally doing. They're turning the pandemic into a civil war, which they then declared state emergencies where the governor took over. And that is what happened also with the election. When they started saying that the ballots can be sent out under these extraordinary rules, and the governor determined that, along with the Secretary of State and the Attorney General, those are all illegal. Those are all unconstitutional. It's already been demonstrated as such. So Trump has yet to call a national emergency that would put into place what the governors have been doing. the Democratic governors are fascists, and they are simply using their power to override their own legislature and to basically take away our constitutional rights. That's a fact.
Yeah, so let's talk about something. I've heard a lot of discussion of fraud, election fraud, and there is this notion being thrown around that, oh, well, it wasn't too much fraud. Okay, there was some fraud, but it really wasn't material to the results of the election. No, that's not the way it works. In a court of law, in our laws where they're actually being enforced, any fraud in a case tosses out the whole case. Because any fraud means that there's a lie been told, and therefore the jury has no way of evaluating the facts any further because that lie was told and proven that it was told. And so once that happens, one lie should get a case thrown out. So this idea that we have these stages or scales of fraud, and that up to a certain scale we can accept the fraud, is not American. It's not constitutional. And I think that people have gotten so used to hearing this discussion of, well, it wasn't that much fraud. Okay, he lied, but he didn't lie too much, is not the rule, is not the standard. If we can't count on truthfulness in our courts, in our justice system, we have no justice system, because then it's up to the capricious rulings of a capricious judge who has probably been paid off. And therefore, the people that can pay him more, the ones him or her more, are the ones that are going to prevail in these courts. And that's the mess we're in. We've allowed fraud to creep in, and we even accept it. And our attorneys have accepted. Our attorneys are so used to people lying that they don't even know what the truth is anymore.
This is the difference between a democracy and a republic. We do not have a democracy. We have a republic. The republic is that when there is fraud in the democracy of everybody getting their single voice, and there's fraud in it, then the whole system is thrown out. The entire election is thrown out if one single state decertifies. And then it goes to our republic, and we have rules, and the rules are it goes to our representatives that we have elected to then conduct another election, a simple election, which will take only a few minutes. And that is what I believe he's banking on, is that the fantastic amount of fraud cannot be overlooked. And by the way, each and every person involved in that fraud has committed a federal felony, and they need to go to jail for a long, long, long time. But they're not going to do that. Why? Because we have another system. They knew that fraud would happen in our voting system because they knew that people could be manipulated by media, even back in the old days, by pamphlets by Thomas Paine or by the newspapers, or what we've seen by the Empire Press Union, which came to America and took over all of the, basically the media, then the wireless, and then social media and the whole thing. That is the way that you overthrow governments. But you're supposed to have, in a republic, the ability to say, no, there was fraud. We're now going to go to our elected officials and follow the rules. Now, the Supreme Court does not have to determine there's fraud. They just have to accept that the electors that have been offered are not valid. Well, if there's being contested in five states and alternate electors are there, then it's a given. This could be the reason that Trump doesn't seem worried at all. He's not talking about anything, his plan. He's letting everybody do everything independently so that it all comes into the court of public opinion. But when it comes down to it, the rules of America are made to exactly counteract this type of social manipulation of the masses, so that then your Republican representatives can then make the vote. And if that happens, it depends on Georgia and whether or not the Senate goes Democratic. If it goes Democratic, we could have President Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. Things like this have happened in the past, but nothing on this scale, and nothing on the scale of the massive fraud with the entire population of America. And so really the right would say, we don't care what the judges say. They have no place here. There should be no judges determining whether ballots can be sent out to millions of people illegally. No judge can determine that.
Right. It's the legislature that must determine it. The people who are part of our republic that we elected to represent us, so that when these things happen and when the courts are rigged and when they are not true and honest, and when we do not have a Justice Department that does their job, or the FBI that does their job, or even the intelligence communities not doing their job, that doesn't really matter. It right. comes down to the legislature.
This is a we the people issue. It's our property. It's our vote. And it's not a bureaucrat's vote in any of the agencies. And hopefully that's what we're doing. We're seizing our country back by taking back the control of our vote. We've allowed it to go to these professional bureaucrats who are all partisan, just by virtue of who's paying their check, whether it's a Republican or whether it's a Democrat or whether it's independent. So therefore, we've given up the sovereignty of our country to these paid professionals. We've got to take that back now. We can't wait. I love this. This is killing me to hear this discussion. Well, we need to have some hearings and make a list of the things that we need to do to make sure this doesn't happen in the next election. No, I don't want to wait till the next. We won't have a next election.
No, what we need to do is round up their sorry asses and put them in jail and be done with it. We've got to clean up this country. Our children are too brainwashed and indoctrinated. They'll never be able to do this. But now I want to move on. What about Section 230? It was not included for the elimination of that in the NDAA, and Trump has vetoed it. Guys, what do you think will come of that?
Well, it gives the right for anyone to sue them for conspiracy and for lies, because the Commerce Act of Decency in Broadcasting basically says that if they have a group that is working in a conspiracy to tell lies, that's a federal crime. So all that really has to happen, and Betsy, you pointed this out so many times, is that the laws are enforced. If 230 was enforced, they could close them all down now. But what are they doing? Oh, we're going to placate the masses.
Who down?
The social media groups.
Okay.
And mainstream media, because they're all lying, and they know they're lying. We even have described Avid and ISIS management, the ways that they lie, the way that they work behind the scenes. So he was trying to get that put in there so that he could then basically say, I don't care about the antitrust. Well, we can take a lot of their money from them by fining them for that. That's true. And everybody knows they're guilty. No, 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 no. We need to admit that it's a conspiracy of lies and basically disgorge them and basically end them, because they are, in fact, working against America as foreign war actors. They are really, and if they're Americans, then it's treason.
Okay, so this relates to the Breyer research of the last few days. We discovered an old video that was archived back in 2005. And it is a video of Breyer and Zuckerberg speaking to an entrepreneurial class at the Stanford University. And they had an all hands on deck meeting, because this new kid, Zuckerberg, was coming out and Breyer was clearly driving the bus. And in the process of this video, which I think Betsy's got linked up on her website, the Breyer, now we can see Breyer was really giving us a signal, a tell, because he talked about how social networking was essentially going to change the media landscape. And he was very clear about this paradigm shift that now we know wasn't being created and he was observing it. Now we know he was creating it. He was creating the shift through the National Venture Capital Association, where he had just come off as the chairman of the National Venture Capital Association, and an executive for the CEO of BlackRock came on, BlackRock, the CIA. Came on National Venture Capital Association. And this was just months after they had had this meeting in 2005 at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York, where 700 venture capitalists got together, and Breyer and this BlackRock guy pronounced that the venture capital market was moving to China. They formally announced it. It's a very clear quote. In fact, it's in our latest post. And so what we're seeing there is that it's more of the same Pilgrim Society stuff that goes way back to the 1909 Imperial Press Conference. They knew that control of press through technology was the key to their power. And so they had it in the newspapers of the world. They took over telegraphy with Tesla's patents. And then they formed RCA, they formed NBC, and they did it with radio and TV. And then when our technology came along, they realized that they could carry on the next round through social media, and Breyer was driving it. That's clear now. Breyer was driving it. And then Breyer decided, in his great wisdom, he and BlackRock decided that they were going to take this technology all to China. Well, why would they do that? Why would they take all this technology to China? Well, first of all, they knew it was stolen, and therefore they were probably knew that eventually they were going to get in trouble in the US. So before that would ever be realized by us and others, they would move their entire operation of their power center to China, and they would cut a deal with the devil in the Chinese premiers, which is now Xi Jinping, but at the time it wasn't. So they had a very long-term plan to take the Pilgrim strategy to China and operate their global control mechanism, as you said, Douglas, over various types of destructive technology to China, where the laws of the US could not touch them. And that's a key. The laws of the US could not touch them in China. They knew they could do what they wanted in this communist country, and therefore it was the perfect staging ground. And that's what they've done. And so control of the media was something they realized through social networking. They could completely reconfigure the medias of the world around this social, and they would have no obligation to follow American law because, hey, they weren't in America. They were in Beijing.
Yes. And as we've pointed out, Highlands Forum Group, whichever one you want to call it, Highland Forum, Highland Group, always had Excel partners as their venture capitalists, along with Sequoia, along with BlackRock, along with all the same criminals. Now, Highlands Forum is a group that determines how to steal technology and use it to kill people. And they literally, it's the Office of Net Assessment. In other words, how many people will die by this invention? So let's remember, OpTech, the software that runs all the machines, and including SGO, Smartmatic, with Mark Malik Brown, was created as a DARPA project. Now, when you create these projects, whether it be the DARPANET, which later became the internet, whether it be social media, which was IBM Eclipse Foundation, it's the same venture capitalists. They know they're committing crimes. They know that they're an certainly non-government organization, which is using government, and government does exactly what they say. But it's the same old thing. It's criminals meeting in their criminal meetings, and then they go to criminal countries because everything done in China is criminal, period. I don't care what you say about anything. Anything done in China has nothing to do with human rights and freedoms that are the bastion of America. So they go to these other countries, especially China, because they can get away with it. The problem is China's smarter than they are. They steal the technology and kick those people out and have the bottom line where they control it. So they're all going to be sucking wind in the end. But James Breyer is one of the worst. He's there at the DARPA meetings from the beginning. He got a piece of every pot for every social media invention there ever was. He was an investor, right? Right. So we're the same old standard people that you have brought to light again and again.
Who don't know, James W. Breyer was the first outside venture capital money put into Facebook.